Hello, friends. Thank you for engaging with The Homily by Pastor Chill Will from Chapel Hill. I hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and moves you to go deeper in your faith and enrich how you love God and love your neighbor in your day-to-day life. Just a reminder, like the scriptures and gospels themselves, this homily was written for a particular community in a particular context, time, and history. And yet, like our sacred texts, I hope that these words hold timeless truths about God's unconditional love and grace. We hope these words speak to you in a meaningful way. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, 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 would you look at that? Some Sundays, the lectionary and the assigned Bible readings for the day are super challenging to figure out how they fit into our context. And then there are Sundays like this, where they fit like a glove. Confession, when I picked Stewardship Sunday on the calendar way back at the end of the summer, surprise, surprise, I did not look at the readings beforehand to see if they lined up with our stewardship campaign. I had no idea this was going to be the gospel story for today. Boom, nailed it. But for real, using the parable of the talents is pretty cliche to use on stewardship or pledge or intention Sunday. But hey, I didn't choose this. I guess that's just how the Spirit works. We have been building for a number of months and weeks, sharing what our ministry goals and initiatives are for the remainder of this year and into 2024. Yes, finances and giving financially to our community of faith is super important. But we've also said over and over again that we envision stewardship holistically. It involves all of who we are and how we do ministry together as a community growing in our faith together. How we spend our money and what we invest in is important, but so is how we commit and invest our time, in how we care for and take care of one another, how we take care of and care for our neighborhoods, the environment, our vocations, our education, and the relationships entrusted to us. Being good stewards and learning how to be good stewards of all those things is at the heart and core of our discipleship and how we follow Jesus together. This year, we've been reflecting on not just how people attend our church, but the diverse ways in which we engage with our community of faith. 2023 has been a big year for us. That is, in getting back on our feet and doing what we do best when it comes to gathering together in worship and in Sunday school and youth group and fellowship events and opening our buildings to our neighbors and neighboring organizations who seek to build and invest in healthy community. 2024 will be another big year for us as we enter into the call process to call a new campus pastor. Another big year when we bring on a full-time staff person, our new director of worship and music. A year where we want to build our endowments for the future of our ministry together, and to continue to build and grow in our core values of worship, faith formation, outreach, and campus ministry. We've all been through so much over the last 3 years, and we are learning and relearning how to be a community together in a challenging and demanding world. And yet, in the midst of all that, we acknowledge that we have so much to be thankful, grateful. Our message and posture with stewardship is one of gratitude. Because God has given us so much, therefore we give out of grateful and thankful hearts. We don't give or engage with our community of faith to earn God's love or favor. We aren't trying to impress God, nor do we say that there is some magic formula in where if we give or earn enough spiritual merit badges, God will magically bless us and we will then live happily ever after. God loved and loves us first. Therefore, we give out of gratitude and in rhythm with that love. If you ever hear me say or preach, if you give to the church, only then will God bless you and our church and family, you have permission to nail statements on why that is wrong on the front door of our church. Okay, Pastor Will, so then what do we do with this parable of the talents that seems so harsh? When looking at this infamous parable, it can seem pretty on the nose and plain to see and interpret. We all have talents. We're called to put them to work. Don't bury them or else. Invest well and God will not send you out into the darkness. Don't think that's the point. That's most likely not what Jesus is talking about or what Matthew is trying to get across to his community of faith. That's too simplistic and overplayed by ministers who are trying to motivate their communities to do more and give more. So how do we handle this parable? Remember, as I said last Sunday, we are at the end of Matthew's gospel. And in this chapter of Matthew, there is a trilogy of parables calling for Jesus' followers to get ready and to be prepared because Holy Week is coming next. Matthew's story about Jesus is also this reality that those who claim to follow Jesus are waiting for him to come back. We are in this time of after Easter and before God's kingdom is actualized and the culmination and redemption of all things. So what do we do in the meantime? They, Matthew's community, and us, ask the question, what do we do while we wait? What do we do in the meantime? What do we do in a world where often God does seem absent or delayed in returning? When I read this parable again, I am struck with that similar parable from last week about this landowner who leaves and takes their time. The owner, the rich guy, leaves and is absent, entrusting his property and money and talents to his servants, slaves. So, what are they supposed to do? Let me share the context of what this parable means by the word talent. We hear that word talent, we often think of the analogy or the metaphor of those things that we're good at in life. My talent is that I'm pretty good in the water, and I know a good joke when I hear it. But in Jesus' day, a talent was an amount of money, an amount of coins, physical coins. And hear this, one talent was worth 20 years of labor. So five talents was worth 100 years of work. Some scholars compare it to present-day money as being $5 million. Two talents, 40 years of work, $2 million. One talent, 20 years of work, $1 million. So when those who are hearing this parable from Jesus' mouth, they would have been shocked about how much money Jesus is using as an image or metaphor in this story. No one hearing this parable had ever experienced or seen that kind of money. It's extreme. Then again, that is what Jesus does in his parables. And so, yeah, you could take this parable as another cautionary tale to make sure that you're investing correctly or working for the Lord. What also stands out for me is that there are these phrases that one of the slaves, the one who had the one talent, uses to describe the landowner. Out of fear, the slave calls him or says, "You are one who reaps where you do not sow, gather where you did not scatter seed." So the warning and the cautionary tale maybe isn't about not using our money correctly or doubling the investment. Perhaps, knowing the boldness of the landowner, this servant lets fear take over his actions or inaction. I see this parable lining up with Jesus' parable of the sower. Remember that reckless farmer who just so generously throws seeds everywhere? Not a very good farmer. But Jesus is sharing this abundance of God's love and grace in the kingdom of God going where perhaps you don't expect to see it. This landowner is bold and risky and doesn't let territories and walls and restrictions limit how he operates in the world. Perhaps there is an image here of the kingdom of God who breaks down walls and isn't limited by the boxes and restrictions we try to put on it. Perhaps because God is so generous and risk and bold with love and grace, therefore, this can ease our fears, give us the courage to be bold with our own talents and in how we engage with our community of faith. Perhaps the real cautionary tale isn't what this person did with the money burying it in the ground, but really letting fear taking over his life. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not saying you need to be more risky with how you invest your money or how you spend your retirement. But I do think Jesus is calling us to get out of our comfort zone and to invest in those things that count, matter to God. It's interesting to me that the next parable in this chapter of the trilogy of parables right here in the middle, kind of like the parable strikes back. And then you have the last trilogy or the last one about there's going to be this parable we hear next Sunday about the sheep and the goats. And this expression of what do you do in the meantime, community? What do you do with your resources? What do you do with your talents? You feed the hungry. clothe the naked. You take care of the sick. You take care of the outcast and the forgotten, those who are in those dark places that we don't often notice. So where is God calling us to invest? How is God calling us to engage in our community of faith? How can we be bold and risky with the talents given to us? Now, I have a sermon illustration. Now, I bring up Jennifer Maness to come forward. Jennifer is going to be my sermon illustration today. Jennifer Maness is a pastor, and you've seen her and been involved with our community of faith and preached on a number of Sundays. And Jennifer is taking a call to where? Remind me. Portland, New York. And the name of the congregation is? Grace and Holy Spirit. So she accepted a new call to move to New York. And so we're very excited about this. And so we're going to do a Godspeed for Jennifer, but want to share in terms of how we invest in ministry here at Holy Trinity. Jennifer came here to UNC to go to school. What year? 2001. Man, those years. Yeah, the good old days when we thought things were normal and great. No, 2001. And then as a part of her time here at UNC, she plugged in with our campus ministry. Became involved with campus ministry. Then after campus ministry, heard the call to go to ministry herself and attended Duke Divinity School, and then was rostered in the ELCA, served a number of churches in a campus ministry. Last couple of years has been a chaplain at a hospital here in the Triangle area and has now received a call in New York. So as I think of you as a student in 2001 gathering here from, you moved from Florida to Chapel Hill, terrified about what the next stage in your life. But you engaged with our ministry here, experienced community and belonging, and then grew in your faith enough where you wanted to go and invest your talents out to the whole church. And what a gift that is. And that's what we're continuing to do here at Holy Trinity with every aspect of ministry. Not everybody's called to be a pastor, but we all have gifts for ministry. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. Once you're baptized, you have gifts and talents to contribute to the church. Maybe helping us with our budget. Maybe helping us with stewardship or working the online streaming or volunteering with youth. Or perhaps God is calling you to go to seminary and be a roster leader. Thank you for who you are. And we are praying for you in this next stage and chapter. So we're going to do a Godspeed for you. Jennifer, as you leave our community of faith, we wish to bid you farewell and a Godspeed. In holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you a member of God's church. When you came to this community, we rejoice to welcome you into the mission we share as the people of God. In this community, you have come to know and to share in God's loving purpose for you and for all creation. God has blessed you in this community, and God has blessed us through. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for Jennifer and for this time that we have shared with each other. Jennifer has been a blessing to us, and so now send her forth to be a blessing to others and to the community that she has been called to pastor and shepherd. Gracious God, we thank you for the work and the witness of Jennifer, how she has enriched this community and shared her gifts with us and others. So Lord, bless us and bless her in this time of transition. Day by day, guide her, give her what is needed. Friends to cheer her way, a clear vision that you are calling her to the work of your ministry, a community support and guide her in her life. And by your Holy Spirit in our pilgrimage together, may we continue to travel together in the way of the truth and the life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening. If there is anything that stood out for you, or if you have a question, or you just want to have a conversation, you are always free to reach out and contact us. And remember, you are not alone, and that you are loved with a love stronger than death.